and welcome to another episode of The Single Girl's Guide to Life, your weekly guide to single life living in your 20s, 30s and 40s. I'm Chantelle Dyson, a single life confidence coach, helping women to stop worrying about their relationship and to make sure they make the most of their single life. And we're going to head straight into today's episode because it's a topic that this time of year brings around the discussion about it, and we're delving into that general topic of the dating scene. So if you aren't looking to date, or you're not debating whether you are or aren't at the moment, then this episode might not be for you this week. But if you are in the midst of deciding about dating, and maybe you're thinking, oh, it would be a great time to start dating, and that comes about because the winter months are coming in, we're spending a bit more time on our own in our homes. I spoke about getting through winter as a single last week, and there's stuff coming up about solo dates when you're single as well during these months. But it can make us start to realize that maybe we do want to cuddle up and cozy up with someone as the weather's turning, as you know, you're spending more time inside because there's less to be doing outside and it's not as easy to meet up. And it's odd too. I'm anticipating that COVID is no longer a thing for us to really worry about. I appreciate it's still around us and there is still risk to people's lives. But if we look back at the last few winter seasons, we've always been very cautious of how that affects COVID. And this year, probably for the first time, therefore, for a while, we have a proper season of Christmas where there aren't potential lockdowns coming and all of that to be navigating and to isolate. And it feels like that's really, really out of the way. And of course, dating went on during the COVID season anyway, and things had been winding down in terms of what could and couldn't happen in places. But it was kind of in the back of people's minds. Whereas this is the first winter season that, with everything else going on, it seems like that really isn't even much of a consideration. So it feels a little bit more normal. But all of these feelings of looking for someone to date during these months is exactly what we're talking about in today's episode, which is around the term cuffing season. Cuffing season begins in the winter months around about now. It could even be deemed as early as the start of October. And it runs through the winter months. I see some of it kind of end towards the end of the year, the start of January. But some people regard it as going on throughout all of the winter months and therefore could go on as long as the February, March time when winter officially ends. It is this idea that you literally, not literally, but the idea of cuffing yourself to someone literally, as in this sense, as a relationship, as part of settling down with someone for the winter months to enjoy that season together because of the way it feels to be in that. And it strikes me as something that we may fall into and may fall foul of actually, because this period of time does highlight the coupleness of life, not just through Christmas, but through doing things as a couple and for coming home and not going out. People don't want to go out right now. People don't want to go out and do things. They want to snuggle in at home. It's cold out. Certainly no one wants to like get into little dresses, to dress up, have their legs out too much. It's always like, oh, but it will be hot when we're in there, but it'll be cold when we leave. And you know, the rainy weather, I don't like getting all dressed up even for a Christmas night out thinking that, oh, if the rain's going to ruin my hair and all of that, it's just easier to stay at home. However, as single people, that can be really difficult and we might turn to dating apps. Now, dating apps, I don't have the biggest problem with, but they can be a really good distraction and we always have to be aware of their uses. But it's not the dating app use that I'm going to go into today. I'm going to be focusing in on what this cuffing season can be about and how you can navigate it as a single girl. What we need to be aware of as going into this time of year with this. Now, something else that intrigued me when I started to look around the idea of cuffing season was also the idea of when breakups took place within the scope of a year. And it turns out that breakups steadily happen over the next few months. And it literally just continues to increase until we hit Christmas. And there's a massive dip because many people are staying together over the Christmas season. It won't be everyone, but there is a big drop off there. So what we're also finding alongside cuffing season the idea of people settling down for just the winter months. We're also seeing a lot of breakups occurring comparably to summer. There's a little peak before summer because of the prospect of summer. But it's interesting that at the same time that people want to settle down and cozy down into their relationships, we also have a steady breakup curve. And this comes through the studies that dating apps have done, that Facebook does on its relationship status. There's a pretty good evidence to show that this happens in a very similar way, depending on the source that you look at. Now, of course, breakups happen all of the time. No time is exclusively void of breakups. They can happen on Christmas Day. They can happen on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. But it's also another element that we need to be aware of, that if there are lots of people coming out of relationships combined with this sense of time of like, oh, but everyone's coupling up and I now don't have anyone, we've got to also be aware of the kind of mindsets of some of the people that would have recently broken up. Any time that you date someone that is recently broken up, you have to consider, have they really worked on the elements that you would have wanted them to work on? Have they really had the chance to have the freedom that they need if it's been a long-term relationship to then be ready for something else again? Or is it being used as what we might classically call the rebound element, where you are being used to fill the void that they feel now that they don't have a partner? And cuffing season doesn't have to be the same as that in terms of a breakup's happened, so they feel that way. But it is very much the idea of filling the void through the winter months. And these two kind of facts and seasons are interesting. This escalation in breakups alongside this cuffing season, that they both serve the same purpose. We're spending a lot more time indoors, and maybe that's the reason why more relationship breakups happen, because people are getting more frustrated. The fun and variety is gone of what compares to summer and spring when activities are different. And it is a different way of life, particularly in the UK, during the winter compared to the summer. It is very different. I know each country will go through their own version of this pretty much, but it's starkly different. And I find winter a challenge in general compared to the minute we get sunlight extending even further. So you've got this idea that life's a little bit different for people, and that's where the breakups are coming from, and they want to fill a void, versus then you've also got cuffing season where people notice the void that's in their life a little bit and want that more. So cuffing season can be really good because, of course, it gives you the companionship that you are seeking during those months. It's really hard in the dating world because it seems that there is an assumption that whatever you are looking for from the experience of dating, everyone else is too. And it might even be that you default to thinking that anyone that dates is looking for a long-term relationship that ends in marriage and children. And I realize that for a number of you that talk to me, that is something that you want. However, we are in this world where it's just not the case anymore. It's not the given. It is not the most predominant thing in everybody's life. There are still people out there that it is for, and that people that want that. And I would still say it's probably a majority of people that do want that. However, dating is its own entity, and so many different people have different intentions, whether they know that intention and can admit that and talk about that and communicate it, or they say things, they think they want it, and then it's only through their behavior that they show that it's not really for them, or that they have maybe attachment styles that they're not even aware of that make them fearful of what that really means and the worry that comes with that. So with any dating scenario, it's always worth us just taking a step back to always think, what do I really want from this situation? There is no harm in looking for someone throughout cuffing season. It might be that you know that you are going to travel next year, but that doesn't mean that you want to void yourself of an intimate partnership with someone, even just for a bit of time. And the winter months are great. Maybe you know that you've got to save up for this trip, but you have loads of time on your hands. So why would you not want an experience with a person? People won't like what I've just said there, because so many of us hold on to the idea that loving relationships and meaningful romantic connections have to last forever. And that if not, we're doing something wrong. That doesn't mean that meaningful relationships can't have a set expiry date already because of a lifestyle that you know is about to come. People worry about the investment that they make in people. And it's like, but if they can't give me that marriage and children, then I don't want it. And I appreciate that if that really is the goal that you're after. But then you have got to be prepared for the fact that you're going to be waiting longer. Whereas other people that maybe don't have that outcome so set and they're not too worried about if and when it happens can go into these elements of knowing that there might be some end dates to things and making sure that they enjoy their relationships for the in the momentness, for the time period at which is agreed. And there might not even be any agreement. There might not be anything at the end of it that stops the relationship, but it might just be that that is what someone is very clearly about. And they want that someone for the winter seasons, but they don't really know what they see for the long-term future. This all comes down to knowing what you want from a relationship and why. And there will be some people during this cuffing season that feel the energy to find someone to be with through winter, but are not seeing that long-term gain. And if you are one of these people that knows you want that long-term outcome and you're playing within the dating game where there's a whole mixture going on, then you've got to be, one, aware that not everybody is going to be very clear on what they want and know that this is even like an option. They don't even realize that they're kind of like coupling up just because it's winter and they've suddenly started to date again because it's all getting all cozy and who are they going to go and sip hot chocolates with? It's down to you to kind of suss that out about people, something that they might not even know. And it's also your duty within that to communicate it effectively. Because the advantage of cuffing season is that you can have an experience, you can spend all that time with someone and enjoy the winter months. And with any relationship, of course, you open yourself up to the fact that it's not going to last forever. In fact, the odds are low. The odds of it lasting, especially forever, or at least even a long time, is low in general, because it takes so much time to get to know someone. But if you can go in with this idea of not minding if it lasts 6 months, such as October to March, or it lasts 6 years, then you get to live experiences out without the hurt and the attachment. Now, that is very difficult to do. I fully appreciate why some people might not want to do it. And if so, then the case is going to be for you that in this instance, at this time of year, you need to tread carefully. Because some people will be in that dating pool and not really know why they're there. They think they want a relationship, but they're just being reminded that they're not with someone for Christmas. And by the time January, February rolls around, particularly it being a new year, you might then find that they want to start afresh and go into the new year with something fresh, or as spring comes in. So in terms of the breakup pattern, there's a big drop off at Christmas. But then after, as we start from January through to March, April again, the curve starts to go up. So it just goes up more and more as the months go on, right before this sort of Easter point where people want to kind of break up before summer again and drop off. Now, there's so many situations where people go, well, obviously I'm with my partner for X number of years, so that's never happened. Of course, there'll be some people that be like, oh my God, every Christmas or every Easter or every this, they're like, the pattern, why is it always then? Well, there are certain times of year that make people reconsider what's going on. And we have to have the awareness of that when we're going into dating. And this is where your communication skills are really important. As someone that would say that they have the anxious attachment tendencies, though I would say I've probably moved to a more secure spot with that now. I was doing some reflection and reading on attachment styles, and the way I now manage some of the ways I feel and communicate is so much stronger than it was, let's say, a year to 2 years ago, that actually I fall probably into this space of some level of secure attachment. I still experience some of the feelings. I don't think that being or feeling securely attached to people is based on always having an anxious attachment style, that your attachment style can change. But it also doesn't mean that I'm void. It also doesn't mean that I'm void of feeling the anxiety. It just means that I know how to deal with it a little bit better than before. I wouldn't say that I'm totally secure in things, but knowing the tendency that I know that early stage dating can bring out in my anxious attachment style and what it means for me, the idea around communication during cuffing season for me would be so important. With any attitude towards dating, you have to go down the route eventually of, I have to enjoy this for whatever it is. Because if you don't, you'll put way too much pressure on the start of it. People will be pushed away by your determination to settle down and have children, which may be one thing, or the anxiety around you trying to confirm and get the clarity that you're going to be together for a long time, even if those things don't happen, that that person's not going anywhere. And you eventually just push them away, either based on just being way too confident and sure about what you want versus the worry and the fear that it brings out in you. And of course, you should have ideas about your intentions and they should have ideas about their intentions. But ultimately, every time that a dating experience doesn't go right, we have to look at the lessons that we've learned from it, whether that is because we didn't communicate effectively, whether that is because we didn't set boundaries enough, or whether it's just because that over the time, over the 3, 4, 5, 6 months that you were getting to know someone, you were just getting to know someone. And there is no harm in the fact that it didn't work out. But to have worry and fear and stress so early on because you're worried about it is the problem. So cuffing season, a few people are going to go into a dating scenario and say, I'm here for cuffing season. If they are, good on them. Well done you for knowing that you're just looking at this as short term and being very open and honest. We love people like that. Not everyone has the self-awareness and the honest levels of communication of knowing what they're doing dating, whether they feel pressured by friends, just the environment or otherwise. It is important, though, to read some of the signs around what people say at the right point about a future projection. Because if the future projection does matter to you, then you mentioning in October, November time, something that's happening in January, February, that they then might push over, or if your birthday falls in summer, a bit like mine, and you mention your birthday and you say, oh, well, when I do this and when we do that, we can go away for my birthday, when something, you know, you see something cool on TikTok or anything like that. And it's noticing the reactions that happen then. If there's a, oh my God, that would be so amazing, that's going to be great, versus, yeah, we can see how it's going at the time. You look for that. Now, some people will be like, oh, but you're going to read into everything all the time. As someone with an anxious attachment style, anxiously attached people can often look for signs. Their whole premise of the way they work within dating is that their fire alarm for, is someone going to leave me, too sensitively attuned. So it will read that and see that. The problem is that anxiously attached people, when they detect these things that worry them, are often right. So it only reinforces their belief that someone's going to leave. But cuffing season is just a tentative time for anyone that's anxiously attached that can't detach from the outcome. An anxiously attached person wants to feel reassured, wants to know that things are going to be okay, and wants to not be abandoned. That's often what the fear that drives someone with an anxious attachment style is running from. No matter what, in any dating scenario, however, an anxiously attached person or any other person has to accept that any dating experience can end at any point. Even if that person said, I thought this was going to last a lot longer than it did. And you had that in your head and you did talk about plans. Seasons change us naturally every single year as to what we want, what we see happening, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our lives. There's a reason that we have that seasonal affective disorder that comes in during the winter months because we're just not getting as much sunlight. We're not getting enough days. We don't have the same energy. Things feel harder. It's gloomier. And so cuffing season can mean that people are ready to settle down even just for that period of time. And sometimes that's got to be a bonus. So just for 6 months, the worst 6 months, let's be honest, they're a horrible period of time. They're very isolated comparably to summer. Why would it not be nice to have a little bit of security, to have someone to cuddle and snuggle down with? You guys ask me, I'm worried that I'm going to be single forever. Are you willing to accept that you could just be in a dating stage or a short-term boyfriend or girlfriend for a bit? Some of you will not like the prospect of that, and I appreciate that. That's for you to think about. I don't love the idea of that. But for some people, maybe you sit there thinking, but if they're not the one, then why am I spending my time with them? Well, actually, you're just having an experience that comforts you for the time that you're in it, that you still, during that time, want to communicate effectively. You know, do you see each other once a week? Do you spend 2-3 days together? I think in cuffing season, I would be wary of spending much more than that time together. Because if you start to operate a life together too much, that is going to feel even harder if it does tail off. But cuffing season doesn't have to be bad, and it doesn't have to get a bad name. It can be used to your benefit. It can be used to the fact that people are out there and want some form of relationship for a shorter term, whether they know that or not. But it does mean that people are out there willing to provide companionship, to provide a sense of security, and to have that Christmas experience with you. In summary, there's just a little bit of a problem sometimes where we hold so dearly onto seeing dating as finding the one. And what are the chances really of the experience that you have and then meeting the one, if you believe in that, for then you doing it all right? If you aren't having some of these shorter term experiences, then you're going to find it hard when you're navigating someone that does look good in front of you, because there'll be things that come up. No relationship goes without discussion, communication, or in fact, arguments. They are a healthy sign of relationships to discuss and to know how you argue, to be able to regulate your emotions during an argument. So if you don't have some of these short-term experiences, then you might be putting yourself on the back foot for when someone that has good promise comes along and you don't feel that you can set boundaries, don't know how to speak someone else's different love language, don't know how to negotiate how often you see one another, don't know how to communicate during sexual intimacy. We don't always have to have such long experiences with really clear outcomes to be able to have experiences in our life and grow. Obviously, if you find someone during cuffing season that is literally planning a life, then go with it. And if be careful of love bombing, of course, be careful of that coming in so early and too soon, and they're literally like basically telling you that they're going to marry you within a week or two. We need to be careful of that. But if you find someone that has a reasonable amount of enthusiasm and forward projection, then that is okay as well. But it doesn't matter if things don't last forever. Look how many single parents there are out there. Those people, I would have thought a good number of them did not expect to have a child with someone and for it then to end. And the marriage rate, which will cross over with some single parents, or like myself, I'm a divorced person that does not have children. There wasn't the intention of being with someone and then that ending, but it did. But are they failures? No. Were they poor experiences? No. Would I do things differently? Maybe, but then I wouldn't be where I am now, and I really don't know if I'd want that bit to change. Cuffing season could be an opportunity for you to explore your relationships. Be aware that not everybody in this zone right now, whether they've been for a breakup recently or they're just getting excited by the season, will be looking at super long-term ideas. And if that's something that you're really holding on to, then be wary. But at the same time, consider that you never know what relationship might last longer than you anticipated or shorter. And that this could be a fantastic opportunity to get some relationship experience. See it a bit like a job. Oh, I'm not going to do this job forever, but I will do it for 6 months. And as long as you are clear and fair on that, oh, you become that person. You become that person that I know loads of you hate, which is the, oh, we're going to see how it goes. So many of you are going to be so uncomfortable with the fact that I've even allowed that. People are allowed to say that they want to just see how it goes, because you're working some stuff out. Part of the dating process is to work some of it out, is to learn some of the skills. But we're so fixed on the outcome and the investment mindset that it's real hard. But you could start to just go with the flow a tad more maybe and try it. It's up to you. That is not me saying that you should do it. I don't know if I would. But I say that, but I have engaged with people that have told me, oh, I have intentions to travel. And I'm like, okay, let's date for a bit and see. And it actually finished way before the traveling because we just weren't suited. I would at times have tried my own advice. It is hard because I do like longer term things. I do get triggered by the abandonment idea. But I have also had poor experiences where people haven't communicated and disappeared. And I've got through that. I've had experiences where things ended earlier than I thought. And I've got through that. Endings don't have to be the worst thing in the world. But hopefully this has given you an idea of what cuffing season might mean for people and the way that people date in general, and the way that you can approach things as lessons and experiences rather than just trying to get yourself someone that's going to be there forever. Because actually, we need to have lots and lots of experiences and to have fun And you want some of that intimacy. And that intimacy doesn't have to last forever for it to be meaningful and wonderful. Maybe a more controversial way of approaching cuffing season than I ever realised I thought I was going to go down the route of. If you have any thoughts on cuffing season, it'd be so interesting to know if you've experienced it. I can't say I've specifically noticed it. Actually, I haven't had a relationship that would have lasted during that season anyway, so I cannot comment. And I don't know if COVID has really allowed for much of that to occur. But keep an eye out. Keep it in the back of your mind. But if you want, make the most of the opportunity. And hey, who knows? You might have intentions of going, oh, this is just for winter. And then we all know there's people that have lasted together longer than they ever thought. No one knows. There's so much uncertainty. And everyone's lives constantly change. Just keep that in mind. Until next time, everybody, keep celebrating single life together.